Greetings. I'm Joel of Heart City Church, and welcome again to Happy and Whole in Him. Have you ever read C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? It's a wonderful story about four children who walk through a magic wardrobe and into the land of Narnia, a place where it's always winter because it is under the spell of the White Witch. And the children happen upon a pair of talking beavers who say, "These children have an important part to play in restoring the kingdom when Aslan returns to set things right." Faced with this fearful yet exciting news, Lucy wonders what Aslan is like, and she asks if he is a man, and Mr. Beaver responds and says, "Certainly not. Aslan is a lion. The lion. The great lion." "Ooh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie, and no mistake," said Miss Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly."
"Then he isn't safe?" said Lucy.
"Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Miss Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe."
"But he's good.
He's the king, I tell you."
These two girls discover Aslan is not safe, but he is good. And the Bible reveals to us this same reality. But speaking of God Almighty, God is all-powerful. Nehemiah 9:6, Romans 1:20, God is not safe. Our knees ought to knock when we think about the day we will be face to face with him. At the same time, God is good. Exodus 34:6, Mark 10:18. He cares about us and promises to be a refuge for all who turn to him in faith. It is these two qualities that distinguish the Christian God of the Bible from all other religions. And think about it. If God were only great, what would comfort would that be? How could we believe he cared? When we were in a tough scrape or someone we love was sick or in a danger, what comfort would we have as we lifted up our prayers to a great God who may be indifferent to us? And if God were only good, but not almighty, not great, then that would be equally unsettling. He'd be up in heaven wringing his hands as we suffered. He'd be wishing he could help, but he couldn't. The good news, my friend, is that our God is great and good, therefore worthy of all our fear and our trust. And when you do fear and trust, you discover that all your other fears are put into perspective. That's why Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And think about it. If you don't believe in God, you have to believe in yourself, which is a pretty popular saying in our day. And we see the results of this belief as our culture is more anxious than ever. If you're the master of your fate and the captain of your soul, you have reason to fear. Atheist Arthur Allen Leff of Yale understands where his rejection of a good and great God leaves him. He writes, "It looks as if we are all we have. And given what we know about ourselves and each other, this is an extraordinarily unappetizing prospect. Looking around the world, it appears that if all men are brothers, the ruling model is Cain and Abel. Neither reason, nor love, nor even terror seems to have worked to make us good. And worse than that, there's no reason why anything should." The fool says in his heart, "There is no God," Psalm 14:1. And then it is left to fools who are neither great nor good. So I encourage you to do like Lucy and Susan, and to question and to look to find out about the God who is both great and good, the God who sent his son Jesus, who became a lamb to be slain at Calvary's cross to demonstrate his goodness. And the Lord Jesus was also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, showing his greatness in rising from the dead. And here's the remarkable thing. Jesus could have finished the story at Calvary, dispatched of every last enemy with a flick of his pinky, and ushered in his kingdom. But he decided to include more chapters. Chapters where weak folks like you and I, folks who would never stand a chance on our own in a cold world, we get to play a part. And Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit his combat plans, and even equips us with his own armor, Ephesians 6:13-17, so we can march boldly out into a cold, frigid world as the most powerful people on the planet, advancing his cause. And why does he do it? Well, somehow Jesus gets more glory when you believe his promise that he gave in Luke 12:32, when he said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Remember who you are and who you belong to.